Welcome to episode 38 of the Insurance Agency Trendsetters Podcast. Welcome to the Insurance Agency Trendsetters Podcast, where we explore how insurance agents can leverage technology to create better relationships with our prospects, customers, and agency team members. We believe tech should help us serve customers better and more efficiently, not replace the human-to-human interaction that's made the independent insurance agent a trusted advisor to clients. You'll hear from industry experts and agents who are on the leading edge of marketing, tech, and providing world-class customer experiences. It's time to level up the industry, and you're the trendsetters who can. Welcome, everyone, back to the Insurance Agency Trendsetters Podcast. I'm here with George Robertson, and we are really excited. We have been talking about getting this guest on our podcast for probably a year.
Absolutely.
And so we're really, really excited to have with us today Ron Berg. He is the retiring executive director of ACT. And I noticed on his LinkedIn profile, he already has retired on there. So I think he's looking forward to retirement.
I don't know if that's legal,
appreciate him taking a little time to talk to us today. So Ron, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Charlotte and George. Good to be here.
Can you let our listeners know a little bit about you and what you've been doing with ACT and the IIABA?
Sure. So I've got a fairly lengthy background in related to technology. I have a degree in computer science, started out in computer operations, computer support, tech support, programming, certainly over a lot of my career, and then really moved as I was employed with MetLife, Ottawa, and Home, more into understanding the landscape from a technology standpoint, what agents are looking for improvements, ease of doing business in their workflow, and then got involved in a program under the big eye called ACT, the Agents Council for Technology. And that was around the time that it started, around the year 2000. And of course, I traveled to a number of other industry technology conferences, the state conferences, the big management system user group conferences, but realized very quickly that if I am to accurately understand the pulse of the industry when it comes to technology, it's ACT that I need to be involved with. And at that point, I became very involved in ACT work groups and meetings. And at some point, the legend that retired before me, the great Jeff Yates, approached me about the job. And long story short, I considered it very closely because I loved working for MetLife after 20 years with them, but really jumped at this position, being able primarily to benefit independent agents and their needs from a technology standpoint, bringing everyone together, getting to answers, and really serving the independent agent distribution. So there's a ton that goes on under ACT, but that really is the high level of it.
Yeah,
Ron, I think you left out something. George, was there something else about Ron's maybe you wanted to share?
Yeah, I think one thing that was left out of that, and if I'm not mistaken, Ron not only computer science and technology and insurance, but a musician, and he's a well-known musician, Charlotte, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's played at Tootsie's in Nashville before.
Yes, I have. I've been fortunate. It's a bucket list thing. I don't know that I deserved to be on that stage, George, that you were watching, but I had a blast. It was from the benefit of another ACT committee, steering committee member, that I got to get up there. It was a total surprise. I didn't have time to be flustered or anything. I was basically shoved on stage and it was kind of like, okay, I can do this George Strait song.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So Ron is very talented as well in the musical arena, Charlotte. So we want to throw that out to the listeners so that they know. So his next piece may be in some kind of rock and roll band or something. Maybe the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is what I'm thinking, Ron.
Yeah, probably not that. I am post-retirement going to get back into playing in bands, starting out with just me and a neighbor playing acoustic guitars at local brew pubs, restaurants, things like that, and then getting more back into formal bands.
Yeah. So, Charlotte, we got to put it on our bucket list to go up and see Ron when he plays, and we'll give him a good tip.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Ron, moving on with the ACT group, and what a great organization. And I think agents, there's still a lot of agents out there that probably are not really aware of what ACT does, but, you know, working with the carriers, the agents and the technology vendors on several different issues. Let's talk for a minute just in regards to like customer experience and how that's changed and what ACT has been able to accomplish with this group over the past years.
That's a great example to start with, George, and thank you for the compliment. ACT does benefit from the collaborative volunteer efforts of our carriers, our vendors, agents, user groups, associations, and consultants. Everybody comes together in our work groups and in our in-person now coming up next fall in Nashville, ACT Tech Summit meetings. But really, we're supported by our carrier and vendor members whose membership dollars create the ability to focus on agent workflow needs and create these resources that are free for Big Eye independent agents and, quite honestly, agents all over on our ACT website. You mentioned that the customer experience work group. That started a number of years ago thanks to the vision of another great ACT committee agent member, along with yourself, George, Claudia McLean of Washington State, and Judy Delarosa of Chubb at the time. Really, there was a need to understand, and this is probably goes back 6-7 years now, or even longer, actually 8 years. I recuse myself. But there's a need to understand for agents, not only what their core groups of customers and potential customers' technology needs are, but how that fits into their workflow needs. So the customer experience work group is created. And from the birth of that work group, we did create the only of its kind that I know, a free customer experience journey website that helps agents understand the technology touch points that they should be implementing from the time a consumer becomes aware they need insurance to when they search out an agency, find an agency, vet that agency's prowess from a technology and ease of doing business and community interaction standpoint and education, through when they get a quote, when they chat with them, when they purchase a policy, through their renewal phase, and really to the point where they become so sold out on that agency as a customer that they're willing to do testimonials and referrals and things like that. So under those six general phases of awareness and research and purchase and renewal, there are about 20, 25 or more technology touch points that agents need to be aware of that they can implement, from basic solid website presence, SEO, social media interaction, online quoting, online app, chat, mobile app, all of these things that they can be implementing, but don't know really where to start. This website gives them not only all of those touch points, but a really slick, quick assessment that they can answer a few questions online about their status with any of those and more of those things. And it gives them a summary of not only where they could start, but where they can really up their game. And it's thanks to that work group that we've created that. And now we're looking at, okay, how can we further that? How can we help an agency understand its tech stack needs, if you will, and how to up their digital agency game, and thus really increase that ease of doing business and have efficiencies for their agency staff?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just bought a house last week, and all of my real estate transaction was online. I mean, I literally signed for the house on my phone.
Yeah.
And I also did all my insurance online for that. It's a local agency, but, I mean, you know, they would send me the documents on .loop or whatever. I don't remember which one they used, would be able to sign it, send it back to them. And it just makes such a big difference. It in does. The experience of not having to get in the car and drive over, you know, and do that and try to meet somebody and work it into the schedule. And, you know, it also allowed that flexibility, being able to sign it when it's convenient. So I think that whole process has, I mean, it's a drastic change. And I think really over the last 2 years, since we've had to be remote so much, has made that really a critical part of an agency.
Yeah, and that you're spot on there, Charlotte. Customers, consumers, and certainly all of us in all of our, almost all of our other interactions throughout our lives are getting that ease of doing business, that simplified what you want it or how you want it, when you want it experience. And certainly the industry, though we've bemoaned ourselves for being slow to adopt technology, and that was pretty much true, but I believe we were, through our carrier and vendor members, being positioned as we approached COVID to be able to implement and utilize a lot of these workflow efficiencies. And spot on, Charlotte, COVID forced that forward and there's no going back.
Right. And I think you're right there, Ron, because the COVID piece put everybody from a work from home environment immediately, whether you were prepared or not. And the beauty of what ACT has put together in this customer experience document and this website really gives agents a great map on how to implement those strategies and to implement them effectively. And just kudos to everybody that worked on that team.
And it's you've got it. It's a team effort. I am the face. The incoming ACT Executive Director, Chris Klein, formerly of Westfield, will be the face of ACT. But it's truly a team effort. If ACT had to succeed simply because of my talents, limited or otherwise, it would not. It absolutely is because of those carrier and vendor members that are part of our ACT work groups. And let me call this out. Independent agents that are part of the work groups, they don't have to be tech gurus, tech forward thinkers. They certainly can be to be a part of our work groups. But what we really love is their input on the workflow challenges that they're experiencing, whether it's customer experience or security or whatever, emerging technologies. It's those insights that the carriers are thirsting for, that the vendors are thirsting for. Certainly, we can solve for the technology behind the scenes. It's about identifying those consistent and spotlighted challenges that helps us bring everyone together and create these resources.
Right. And Ron, to that point, let's talk about the agents for a second. You know, I get asked this quite often when I'm talking to agents about, you know, how do I become a member of ACT? How do I get involved, or can I get involved? Could you address that to those that are listening today?
Would love to. And folks that are listening, I didn't pay George to say that, but I probably would have if I would have thought about it ahead of time.
Well, if I'd have known that, Ron, I would have waited.
Yeah, well, I'm having trouble with my Venmo account right now. Sorry. No. So in Big I, independent agents are already members of ACT just by virtue of them having a Big I membership. That kind of gets lost in the message. ACT is a valuable free or membership benefit for Big I agents. The problem is that you spotlighted, George, I would guess about 80% of Big I independent agent members out there across the U.S. don't even know that. All they have to do is let us know that they want to be involved in some way or another. Go to our ACT website at independentagent.com/ACT. But just send us an email and say, hey, I'd like to learn more, or I've got this to say about this workflow challenge, or I'd like to be on the customer experience work group or the security issues work group or another work group. And we'll make it easy for them. And all they have to do is send an email to act@iiaba.net, India, India, Apple, Bravo, Apple.net. And we will make it easy for them to get on a work group, to attend one of our free meetings. And work group participation is so easy. We add you to the distribution list. We send you calendar invites for monthly Zoom calls that are about 40, 45 minutes. And you don't have to be front and center in the spotlight unless you want to. We love that. But you can sit and listen for a couple months and listen to the dialogue and then share as you would like, whether it's chat or audibly on the call, on the Zoom call. We just make it really easy. But our biggest challenge is agents don't know that there are a plethora of resources out there, like the customer experience journey website, a free downloadable remote work security guide, a cyber guide, insights into emerging technology like IoT and AI, and a ton of things.
Yeah. So, Ron, you mentioned really, I think for our next topic, you mentioned cybersecurity. And I think with all the agents out there today, this is front and foremost on our minds of how do we secure the data that we have? We've got all this personal identifiable information that we have stored in our management systems and our rating systems and different other vendor-related systems. How do we protect that? And what compliance and regulations tie into that? And how do we adhere to those and make sure we're doing the proper things to secure the data? Tell us a little bit about what ACT has been doing in that regard.
So to kind of build a springboard into that, George, ACT has 2, 3, maybe 4 work groups going at any one time. They may be things that focus on something specific, like creating a resource so agents can understand the benefits of e-signature and easily implement it, downloadable texting guide with their customers, an agreement. But there are some work groups that not only just start and create a resource and then go on idle until it needs to be updated, but there are work groups that start and they just keep going. Customer experience is one of them, but security and cyber, I don't see that work group will ever stop. So because over the last X amount of years, it's become evident that independent agents are the target of those bad actors that are out there. We've moved from 8th or 10th or 12th on the list of the top targeted industries to 2nd as of last year. Over 12% of all data breaches were in the financial and insurance area. And those bad actors realize that those small business owners, independent agents, are the holders of that valuable data. So it's incumbent upon agents to make that the top priority. It has to be, this cyber security has to be at the very top of their list of must-do initiatives. But where do you start, George? You talked about the regulatory environment, all of the state regulations, along with the onerous and somewhat scary regulations being implemented by the New York DFS for those businesses that not are just domiciled in New York, but do business in New York. NAIC and the model laws that are spreading across the U.S. And of course, Gramm-Leach-Bliley, which has a lot of those same regulations anyway. So how does a small business owner who doesn't have maybe an IT staff, much less a security staff, two different things, get going and know where to start? So our security issues work group has been focused with priority over the last number of years on creating a guide for agents on how to address and create and extend and stay current with a cybersecurity policy or hygiene program, excuse me. So we've created the Agency Cyber Guide 3.0. And as the name infers, it started out as 1.0. It was a downloadable
living document. PDF.
Yeah. And it was an in-depth document, but it wasn't as wieldy. So now we're at 3.0. It's all online. There's some downloadable components. It's all free. That helps agents understand the trend of being a focus of cyber attacks, real world cyber attacks on agents. But as importantly as anything, George, those regulations and the order that you should be taking them on and getting going, starting with a risk assessment. What do you have for your physical and software components? What are the risks? What are the level of risks among them? And what you mentioned a little earlier, George, that hybrid environment that even raises the stakes even higher with using a work computer on a home Wi-Fi, a home computer on a home Wi-Fi, or using your cell phone as a hotspot, a myriad of things to contemplate. So that risk assessment, and then a written information security policy, and then a response plan no different than a disaster plan.
Right.
What do you do immediately
when you have a breach? Right.
Yeah. So this Cyber Guide 3.0, long story short, helps agents understand that, wrap their arms and their minds around it, and gives them something that they can use to bring their staff together to start or extend their plan from a strategic standpoint.
Yeah, and to that point, Ron, what agents need to really realize if they haven't yet is that just about all these laws require that you have a written plan.
You do.
And if you don't, then there are going to be penalties and fines associated with that, either on the state or the federal level. So if they don't have a written plan, great place to go is ACT and look at that cybersecurity guide, which great individuals have dedicated a lot of time into putting that together. And like you say, it's a continuing living document. And
yes,
keep going forward.
And the plan that you mentioned, the written information security plan that you're required to have as a small business or WISP, we have a free downloadable template for that. Now, you don't download it, put your name on it, put your logo on it.
It doesn't work like that, Ron. I thought I
should do it. But getting to your final point on this, George, everything continues to evolve. So our group, our security issues group, is looking at those evolving issues like MFA. MFA is something that's being implemented thanks to regulations by our carriers, your vendor partners. How do you wrap your arms around that? How do we drive consistency in the industry? And that is what the work group is working on right now. So look for much more on that.
You know, one of the points that you made about the insurance industry being a target, I think a lot of agents think, well, I'm just a small business. It's just little old me here in this rural area, or, you know, even in the city, and nobody even knows I'm out there. You know, they're going to attack the big insurance companies, and certainly we have seen that. But as you mentioned, really, they're a bigger target than they realize because they do have that information on their systems, and they may not have the system set up to protect from the attack. You know, thinking that you're just a small business and nobody's going to notice you online is not a good plan.
No, and those bad actors, I've got some more caustic words for them that I use off air and not out of public, but they're highly talented. It just amazes me how talented these people are, but they have ways of finding, and think about agents out there. How many records do you think you have when it comes to your, not just your customers, but the initial policies, the endorsements on your management system? There's a lot there. And yes, you may have some things in place, firewall thing, other things, but they have ways of testing those boundaries, testing those inroads. And it could be as simple as an email that looks legit. I know you've heard this, but without consistent and in-depth staff training, all of those other things.
I have to agree with that 100%.
Just are all for naught. And we have, within even our work group, agents who have great security plans that have just hesitated for a moment or moved too quickly and paid an invoice that wasn't really an invoice or clicked on something that shouldn't have been. It's constant training. And that's actually probably one of the easier parts. It takes dedication, but there are resources out there like Know Before and PhishMe and others that are emerging. It's vigilance. It really is, Charlotte.
Yeah. And the training, Ron, is critical for every agency and every small business is to be on top of this, because there are new things that come out and new techniques that these bad actors use. And just having that training is vital. I've seen it in agencies where we've gone and we've trained, we talked to them, and they'll call back later. Oh, yeah, that thing you told us about, that happened just the other day. Somebody called up and said they were from Microsoft and they were pretending to be whoever, trying to get us to go into the command center and change the computer. And they were like, we remembered you told us this. And they go back and say that prevented a potential breach. But that training is vital to every organization. And I think that here again, that Cyber Guide gives you great resources for people to go out and look into and use those. And the other thing, Ron, as I think through this process with ACT is just the emerging trends and the things we're seeing, you know, driverless cars, driverless vehicles coming out. the Internet of Things, which is just really phenomenal on the number of devices that have been deployed with internet connections. So you can change your thermostat, you can look at a camera, and then how do those get hacked? Can, you know, people look at you and can go through your camera systems, and how does that play into the whole insurance world? Tell us a little bit more about the emerging trends work group within ACT and what they're doing.
Yeah, we had a dedicated changing nature of risk work group that created a number of what we call advisories on telematics and IoT and AI, machine learning and autonomous vehicles, you name it, blockchain. That's folded into the future issues work group. And we're ready to get that one restarted because we created an IoT advisory. Well, as soon as you create something like that in today's world, it's not out of date, but it needs to be updated. So we're going to get going on that again. To your point, George, I think your largest point, or what I choose to take out of it, there is not a technology advancement that doesn't open up a myriad of security challenges, things that agents need to know about. So in some of these advisories, or most of these advisories, we use the lenses of just high level. What is it? Why is it important? What are the insurance implications? And how does it impact carriers, vendors, and as importantly as anything, agents, and give them tools to learn more, get a good foundational understanding so they can have those discussions not only with their staff, but with their customers. Many of the agencies out there, regardless of size, have small business customers of their own that may have wireless security cameras. They may be using IoT devices, Ring, and you name it. There are just so many things these days. So agents need to understand what the technology aspect evolutions are that are coming out. And nobody has time to read a 40-page white paper. So our mantra across ACT is, again, what is it? Why is it important to me? Here's links to learn more and create a strategy around it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's just so important in what ACT does to serve agents is they are there as things change, because what was going on 3 months ago and what's going on today, there have been changes. And there's that, you need to be in constant communication and constantly updating your knowledge base on the technology that's being deployed and how to protect yourself using that technology, because you can't just read something in January and say, I'll check it again next January. It's just moving too fast.
It is. And even for me in this role, I have quite a number of informational sources, whether it's Google Alerts or coverager.com or any of the number of podcasts like yours or others. But I can't keep up with it. Even the insurtechs that are just flowing into the IA distribution that are here to help us. I mean, there's certainly those that are here to take a piece of the pie, like the much maligned or used examples of Lemonade and Root. But there are as many or even far more insurtechs that are coming in that are here to help with small commercial workflow improvements, security, any number. But that's just so fast, Charlotte, that it's almost impossible to keep up with. So that's why we have ACT and our work groups made up of volunteer members. And again, I want to thank our carrier and technology provider or vendor members that support us, that make all of this possible. We have about 66 supporting ACT members across carriers, vendors, user groups, and associations, and we so appreciate their support. And it benefits them. When I was with, right. I started this out by saying when I was with MetLife, that's how I brought competitive intelligence information back to my employer to say, this is what the agents want. This is what our competitors are doing. This is where the vendors are going. It benefits those carriers and vendors as much as they bring to the table.
Yeah, Ron, we greatly do appreciate those carriers sponsoring and being a part of the ACT group. And then also, as you say, they get a lot out of it as well. I think anybody that volunteers, I can say from personal experience, you get more out of it than you put in. There's a lot of data that comes out of those meetings and discussions and getting to know people and just, you know, the networking in and of itself proves to be vital for your
team. Yes. Yes.
So I think that's huge. And now, Ron, what do you think are some of the challenges agents are going to see coming up in the future? What do you think are some of the biggest issues that are facing us?
Well, certainly cyber. So we've talked about that at mid-level or maybe more length than people listening to this one. But, I would say that's the number one. From a technology standpoint, George, I think it is keeping up with the core customer expectations and needs. But I think as much as anything, it's understanding what their tech stacks are and what adjustments they need, what's coming out and how they can plug in. Certainly APIs are enabling a huge amount more connections much faster than we've seen in the past. So what that results in is whether it's leads, whether it's pipeline management, CRM, the ability to create pipelines between customers through the agency up to the carriers for documents that are needed, everything that's needed in the life cycle. There are a number of types of functionality that are being implemented that probably would, me being in any small business agent's shoes, would leave my head spinning, right? So it's, I think, one of the biggest, highest level challenges is understanding the agency tech stack, meaning what base technology do you have, your management system as an example, and what can be plugged into that flow that will reduce keystrokes and time needed for the agency, but as much as anything, extend that ease of doing business, that when they want it, where they want it, to potential customers, consumers, and customers. There's a lot there, and I listed just a few of them. I think keeping up with that from a technology standpoint, George, is primary. It's predicting out. There's that much overused Wayne Gretzky skating to the puck thought. Right. But however, whatever analogy you use, it really is thinking to the future. What are my agency technology and customer needs going to be in 5 years, 7 years? I think technology is accelerating so fast that, you know, predicting out 20 years or even 10 is next to impossible.
Right.
But 3, 5, 7 years, what is my agency growth going to be? What are my software and hardware needs going to be over that time? Is it all going to be served in the cloud? Am I going to be just using thin clients and accessing everything via ASPs? I think those are the two biggest things. And of course, George, data. We can't really talk about any
type of favorite topics.
Yep. I mentioned the plethora of incoming insurtechs, and among those are really, along with the existing tech providers and our carriers certainly, are those that are providing more powerful insights to your customers, to the potential customer base out there, using, yes, some of the public information that's out there, but huge data lakes and mining that and finding different ways to apply dashboards to what the agents are doing and using machine learning and AI to do that. So among those three things, the cybersecurity and the agency tech stack and data that's out there, that encompasses just so much, George, for the agents to keep track of and wrap their strategic plans around.
Yeah, I think, Ron, we've had several vendors all talking about some of the products that they're releasing and just reviewing data and determining, mm-hmm. Has this customer had a bad experience over the past period of time? Are they at risk to be leaving your agency?
Yes.
Notifying somebody that this client could be at risk. And so you can reach out and talk to them and try to save that account and keep it moving forward. As to, maybe finding prospects or certain areas where, maybe you've got a particular carrier that's writing a particular line of business and they're doing a great job at that and flagging that to the top, because we know all the carriers have their appetite list. But would it be great if it just came up automatically on your management system and just flagged it and said, hey, this carrier's going to be good for this risk? And
yes,
going down that pathway. So I think the technologies are really there. So implementing these technologies with those application programmer interfaces that you mentioned, the APIs, and tagging that into the management systems and building all that data together so it's being useful throughout the whole organization. And then to the carrier point, carriers buy and pay for a tremendous amount of information for data to go back and rate their products.
Right.
What a great way it would be as we gather this data and collectively put it in one spot that we could then sell it back to the carriers and gain some more money off of it from that perspective, because we as the independent agents have the data.
Absolutely. And you said a number of things in there, George, that are spot on. One, imagine the power of, as a small business owner, an agency, if you can be alerted to that customer that might be at risk to move and not hear about it later as they call you to tell you they're moving their insurance, or don't call you at all and the book gets moved, but having the power over that. And you mentioned also, that carrier appetite, in a way, I think, and this might be a little stir the pot a little bit, but we have to be careful of the depth of what we ask for. We as the independent agent distribution have thrived on being independent, everybody being a little different. And if all lines are smoothed out, if everybody's the same, I think you got to be careful what you wish for there. But to your point, there's a lot that can be done that direction with being able to, with a keystroke, with a click of a mouse, being able to truly understand the carrier, your carrier partner's appetites for different lines of business in different geographical regions, for different types of customers. And where I feel I'm on the precipice of that just exploding.
Yeah. And Ryan, this is a little bit off topic, but one thing that we saw recently with an agency where the management system flags that this particular client had an increase in premium, and they had a couple that had an accident, had some points, and the premium mm-hmm. just quadrupled. It took off, went skyward. And so they re-rated it through the rater, got the rates back through the rater, and it found it with another carrier a little bit cheaper. But the interesting thing about this particular incident was if they went back to the carrier site and re-rated the product at the carrier site, the price dropped and it was only a couple hundred dollars more than what they were currently paying. And I scratched my head at that, saying to the carrier level, why would you do that? Why would you increase the rate so much on the renewal only to find out that you could go back and put the information into the same carrier site and get a price that's much lower? That didn't make any sense to me.
Unless you were, and this is not to demean any carrier, unless you were trying to drive more business to your direct channel. But usually, Georgie, what we have fought is it's the accuracy of that data that you're getting
right?
At all points, at all possible rating points along the continuum, we'd heard in the past about, okay, you're getting this quote through the rater, and not every customer, maybe most customers don't remember that they had a ticket or points or an accident or whatever. And then the rate goes up when the reports are run. And the consumers, of course, cry foul. It's bait and switch. But I feel like we've gotten to a much more consistent point. But your example is really spot on in that we need to have consistency. We need to have no surprises at any point along that continuum, regardless of where you're getting that rate indication.
Yeah. And to that point, Ryan, it's a customer experience issue as well in my book, because
yes,
if you're going to tell the client, okay, you got these points. Here's a renewal. It went up quadrupled. And then you're going to come back and say, oh, if you just re-rate it with us, we'll drop the price. That just, the customer experience there doesn't, is just not good.
And, well, it destroys trust with the carrier.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think that's the wrong way to go. Now, I don't know if it's a glitch in the system on the back end, but that's something that I would say as an industry, we need to think through that before we keep going forward, because the time that was spent on that one account had like three or four people involved in it and the customer's time.
Right.
And it was a grueling experience. It really was.
Yeah. And where we are getting to and where we absolutely need to get to is marrying that ease of doing business that the digital experience can bring with that white glove trusted. I love that you said that, Charlotte, that trusted advisor, because it's proven again and again and again through surveys, through feedback, that consumers and customers want that guidance. They need that guidance. And being able to marry that digital experience with that white glove service is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things we've seen over the last 2 years is that agencies have really been forced into the digital world because they had to go remote. They had to start communicating with their customers more online. Right. How did you see that progressing for agents? Did you see particular areas of that digital experience that agents struggled with that ACT was able to help them with? Or do you think agents now have gotten to the point where they're getting a level of comfort being online and conducting
yes.
business digitally?
Yeah. Again, the pandemic forced so many things. You can use that as an excuse, but it's true. The technology was there by and large, but it really forced, no different than, distance learning, which has obviously had its challenges. So that's maybe not the best example in the world. But what the pandemic forced with having to serve customers from remote locations, hybrid, back in the office, back out, it really did challenge and force agencies that had, whether it was leadership, whether it was just sticking to older, comfortable ways of doing business, it forced agencies to start using that online, yes, but more digital interactions. And there's no going back, really. It really has proven that it can be done. Agencies have adapted. Agencies that probably, that I know, had walls and walls of filing cabinets that we were trying to pull them along with paperless. And now it's like, oh, we can't have a lot of paper. We do have to go to Office 365 and our management system in the cloud and this CRM and voice over IP. And yeah, I can't have paper sitting all over my desk anymore. And I think it's forced all of us through that funnel. But it, as painful as it has been for some, it's been very beneficial.
And Ron, I tell you, we greatly appreciate your dedication to our industry. And I hate that we've been away from each other for quite a while, that we haven't seen each other yeah. in person. And I just want to tell you how much I greatly appreciate your service to the independent agency's distribution channel and to the ACT Group. You've done a fabulous job. And I give you a standing ovation, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great job.
You. You're very kind. I mentioned earlier that I'm just the holder of the position, the executive director. I love what I do. This has been the greatest part of my working life. But I will say that doing what I've done in ACT has given me far more than I've ever put into it. It's working with people like yourself, not to turn this into mutual admiration society, everyone, but it's ACT and the ACT staff, Ginny Winkworth, Chris yes. Klein coming in, our ACT committee, which George has been a part of, which is a 5-agent steering committee. So it's certainly not due to my mental capacity and talents that ACT has succeeded. And of course, the agents and carriers and vendors out there. I'll repeat it because it bears repeating. This position has given me far more than I've ever put into it. So thank you.
We will make sure to put the links to ACT in the show notes so agents can access that. And so, Ron, you're about to formally step out and retire. Yes. And you mentioned that you're looking forward to playing some music and getting involved in bands. What else does retirement hold for you? What are you looking forward to doing in this next phase?
I'm an outdoorsman. So fishing and hunting and camping and just being outdoors. I've spent the last 8.5 years staring out a picture window, wishing I could be out there. So certainly that.
I believe we're on this ice fishing as well. Correct?
Ice fishing, yes.
Let's clarify that. Yes, yeah,
that's my
down here in the South. You may not know what that is.
Yeah, it's basically as simple as waiting for a lake to freeze with a foot of ice and getting out there and enjoying fish that are far more tasty when it's that cold than they are in the heat of the summer. I'm all things winter. I love winter more than anything else. I count the days until winter. I'm a curler. I've been curling for since before it was cool, since the Winter Olympics.
The Olympic team?
It will have to be the senior circuit for me.
For the Olympics.
But I am planning to step up my curling game. Travel, certainly. Mm-hmm. Being around with family, grandkids who are now teenagers who are around us less than they had been up until the last few years. But that's cool, too. Now I'll be able to go see them a little bit more. So there's a lot. I have as many years as I can look out, I've got plans to fill it all up.
Awesome.
That sounds fantastic. It's funny. You look forward to winter. I live for summer. I believe life begins at 80 degrees.
So. I like the warm
weather. And everybody else I know, even in Minnesota, I'm one of the few people I know that winter is far too short for me. So,
well, you're in the right place.
Yeah, I am. He's living in the right section of the country.
And if you like to fish, Minnesota is a great place to be.
Yes, there is.
A lot of opportunity there.
13,000 lakes.
Wow.
So, well, again, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fantastic. And we so appreciate the commitment and the contribution that you have made to the independent agency system and to the industry as a whole. And wish you lots of great fishing and music times and times with your family and outdoors times as you enjoy the freedom that you will now have to set your own schedule every day.
Well, thank you both. It's been a privilege and a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron.
All right. Take care, y'all.
Thanks for joining us on the Insurance Agency Trendsetters podcast. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review on iTunes and be sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. You can find show notes for each episode at insuranceagencytrendsetters.com, as well as links to contact Charlotte and George. We'll see you next time on the podcast.